this. If you have your Bibles, let's look at something that's not superstition. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs 31. How many of you got the knife thing? You know, you are a Southern guy. If you got the knife thing. Brother Joe, to this day, if somebody gives you an open knife, you're going to give it back to them open, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, you want to explain to her what happens if you close the knife someone else opens? I'm just going to say this. I grew up with a family who truly, honestly believed in driving down the road, a black cat crosses the path. I'm not kidding. I grew up with don't go under the ladder, go around the ladder, don't, if you're walking and you go a pole, split you guys, the salt thing. What's with the pole? Yeah. So I grew up with my father truly and honestly believed in superstition. And they were pushed on to me. So that's one of the reasons why I have such humor at those things. It took the power of Christ to open my eyes. And so this guy, though he's not as Christian as I'd like him to be, he does love to hit on some of the carnal thoughts in the world, and sometimes we try to put those things in the church as well. Beware of those things. So look with me, please, in Proverbs chapter 31. If you're joining us online this evening, we want to welcome you as well. Ask you to consider being right here in the sanctuary with the experience. What God is doing at Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. And let me tell you, there's lots of things to get involved in, lots of things to get plugged in, lots of things to pray about. And we want to pray with you, we want to pray for you, and ask you to be right here with us. So Proverbs chapter 31. When I say Proverbs 31, most of you, I'm actually start thinking woman, don't you? Woman, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. In fact, that's the title of this evening's message of Proverbs 31, woman. And so if you would, let's just read verses 10 to 31. It's a little bit of reading here. Some of us even rather quickly. The Bible tells us, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, for he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, whose life does she do him good? All the days of her life. Not his life, her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches out her hands to the needy, and she is not afraid of snow from her household. All her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself with clothing and fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gate when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of the household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Quote the last couple of verses here. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of your hand, and let her own works praise her in your gifts. So when you think of a Proverbs 31 woman, and you know there's nobody who can read those on there, what do you think of? Most of us think of the traditional Christian picture of a Proverbs 31 woman. What do we think? Virtuous, okay. But I'm talking about today's picture on a magazine or a book or a TV show. When they picture a Proverbs 31 woman, you've got her hair is always perfect, her makeup is never messed up, her perfume is always there, she's never irritated, she's what's needed. Proverbs 31, love it. And so when you see Adam in Proverbs 31, she's never a little chunky, is she? She's never a little too skinny, is she? She's never not clothed perfectly. And I don't mean she put on her jeans because she was working today. I'm talking about she's always got a dress on, always got her hair done, always wearing jewelry, got her nails done, and there's never a chip on that thing, her fingernail. That's what they think Proverbs 31 means. Perfection. And it's not what a Proverbs 31 woman is. And so we're going to take a look a little bit at here. In fact, if you were to look at this particular slide, here's some views they give of a Proverbs 31. She's trustworthy. She's trustworthy. She's honest. She's reliable. She's industrious. She's creative. She's kind. She cares for the poor. She trusts in God to provide for the future. Thoughtful in what she says. And she cares for her household. I think that's a pretty good view of a Proverbs 31 woman. So I put together 10 views of what or characteristics, if you will, of a Proverbs 31 woman. And so I can tell you right now, there is no better example of a Proverbs 31 woman than my wife. So she is, let me just brag on her for just a minute. And I don't do this often, and I don't do this enough. She is my wife for 26 years. She is the mother of 4 children. She has worked full time. She never, ever misses a day of church. She's never too tired to come here. She's never overworked, overwhelmed, said, I just can't make the church. She is here. And on top of that, she backs me up when I tell those boys, you're coming to church whether you like it or not. She said, you heard your father, get yourself in the car. My Proverbs 31 woman. Yes, she's got chips on her fingernails when she decides to paint them. Yes, there's times that she would say, get yourself in the car, a little harsher than you would see on TV. But she is Christ, far above. Is an example of what to be. 26 years she's been married to a pastor. Pastors don't always get paid well. Pastors don't always get paid. I can't tell you how many times I've been waiting for the church to provide a paycheck and say, well, we have to wait for next year's pastor. I can't tell you how many funerals or how many weddings I've performed where they shook my hand and said, thanks, preacher, for driving 110 miles to do this wedding. I appreciate that. It's all in the service of God. Don't worry, God's got you, Pastor. And I go back home and stand and say, who do we get to eat today? Over 30 years in ministry. My Proverbs 31 woman has worked. She's industrious. She's faithful. She's true. And her price is far above Ruby. She's a full-time mom. She's a full-time wife. She cooks dinner for us every night. Praise God. She has faith. She loves Jesus with all her heart. And when I wrote this, it was my best. She loves Jesus with all her heart. Now, we're going to take a quick look. I'm going to go through these 10 characteristics quickly. And you might be saying, oh, Pastor, I know all about them. And I want you to know there are some things in the Bible. Proverbs 31. We don't always bring out. We always talk about the characteristics of a Proverbs 31 woman. What she should be. What she shouldn't be. And I want you to know there's some neat, neat things in Proverbs 31 you may not have thought of. And here they are. Quickly now. Number one, she's not afraid of the snow because she's clothed with family. Do you know what the author is meaning? That means that no matter what happens, she's going to be able to find her family. That means if a blizzard comes and puts 12 feet of snow on the ground, she's going to see her kids wearing bright scarlet walking through the snow. And on top of that, her husband, she's going to say, I know where my kids are. I know where my husband is. Do you ever remember that commercial in the 1980s? That commercial that says, it's 8 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? A Proverbs 31 woman knows. She knows. Not only does she know, she's praying for them. My wife is praying for them. Set them apart from the rest of the world. Not because she wanted them to wear good clothes or brand clothes. She set them apart with something from her family. Made them stand out. Made them stand out. My Bible says she considers a field and she finds it. This woman has a mind. She can think. She can read. women bought, women succeeded, and women survived. And Proverbs 31, women provide as well. Amen. Let's get back into our text quickly now. She loves Jesus with all her heart. Don't you want to serve God with all her heart, all her mind, and all her soul? She seeks His will for her life and follows her way. And if you want to look over the scriptures I have for you, Proverbs 31, 26, that we just read, Proverbs 31, 29 through 31, Matthew 22, verse 37, John 14, 15, Psalm 119, 15, just for the start. She loves Jesus with all her heart. She loves Him because she loves Him. She loves her family because she loves her family. She doesn't let Him come in. Number 2. She's a faithful bride. She's faithful. Virtuous woman. Then the Bible says, Christ is far above me. We expect to take the goodness of this. And I want you to know that in this time frame, goodness is very hard to get. Goodness is relatively rare. Not only were they rare, they were scarred. But they marked warriors. They marked kings. They marked queens. They made someone stand up like that. My scar that they pulled it in with. Bible says, the virtuous woman has Christ far above ruby. Let me put a 2024 twist on this. How expensive do you think a woman is? Some people ask me that when I come to marriage counseling, and I tell them, she's more expensive than you ever dreamed of. She costs a life. You know what I'm saying? Amen. She costs a life. A virtuous woman costs a life. A virtuous woman respects her husband. Respects. That doesn't mean that she wants him. I'm going to tell you something about Betsy. She has absolutely no problem telling me what she does. She does him good all the days of her life. I love that Bible verse. She is still thinking about her husband, still thinking about her family, even when he's gone. Not all the days of his life, all the days of her life. Why? Because she's good. Trustworthy. First and foremost, she is a bride of Christ. You do not need an earthly husband to be a virtuous woman. Remember Proverbs 31, 11, and 12. Proverbs 31, 23. Proverbs 31, 28. If you want to take a little bit more, 1 Peter chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 5, Genesis 2, verse 18, just 4. Mothering. That's usually what we bring out Proverbs 31, 4, Mother's Day. Mothering, she's a lovely mother. Her children often bless her. Bless her. When I was growing up, that was not a verb I would use to describe my mother. Nowadays, I'm safe. I'm the home with a blessing. A blessing. A blessing because she cared. She cared enough to tell me no. She cared enough to say that's not right. Just real mother gets involved in her children's life. She's loving, and her children call her blessed. Even though when they're young, they may call her a curse. And when they're older, they'll say, thank God, Mom, you're the virtuous woman teaches her children the ways of her Father in heaven. She nurtures her children. Love of Christ, disciplines them with care and wisdom, and trains them in the way they should go. Remember Proverbs 31, 28, Proverbs 31, 26, Proverbs 22, verse 6, and Deuteronomy 6, and 18, and just to start. If you want the PowerPoint, I will give it to you. I'll do that right now. I'll give you the PowerPoint. Number 4. Stop. I'll give you the PowerPoint. Give you the PowerPoint. Give you the PowerPoint. Number 4. Help. Right? Godly women are interested in help, not just in the family, but in their family. They want to give their family what comfort for them. As Christians, we're instructed to care for our bodies. As Scripture 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple? Who's in you? Whom you received from God, you're not your own. You are bought at Christ, therefore, glorify God with your body. really means to do and that stand for those things might harm our physical health. Well, that's good. Growing up, there was a few things that I loved. Just a few. I mean, there was not a lot in my passion. Number one, of course, I was passionate about females. Two, I was passionate about football. And three, as I got a little older, I was passionate about football. Loved football. Loved the Houston Oilers. I did. Loved them. I was passionate about them. When I got a little bit older, started driving in, my interest changed. Passionate about cars. Love big block engines in little bitty cars. In fact, I got interested in how much pounds of pressure you could put inside in an engine. Love 502s and 454s and 350s and 355s and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What I can do. Notice those were all juice. Betsy's family said, even to Chevy, I still love Chevy. They were the best. That's all right. Don't fire me yet. They were the best. Here's my point, though. Every car I ever got, I remember my father said, you don't make it too much. If you do, you're great. What do you mean? He said, when you start changing, when you start pulling things out, even though you think it makes it better, it doesn't. He gave me an old adage. He said, son, if you mess with it and steer it up, one car can have problems. That's not the exact words that he said. I can't repeat the words that he said. But it's actual good advice that he gave me. If you steer it up, son, it's going to be good. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Here's the point. A lot of times we like to think of our bodies as a vehicle, we like to think of our bodies as a car, and sometimes we should. Remember that God has given us this body. Yes, it's a body. Yes, we're getting a new one when we go to heaven. But you don't have the right to care this tomorrow. Think about that for a second. Yes, you're getting a new body, but while you're here, you should take care of the one that you have. And good, godly women take care of themselves, and they teach their families to take care of themselves. Let's look at number five from the other one. The virtuous woman serves others with cheerful spirit. She serves others. She's willing to help them. That's not supposed to love others. Yes, we like to look at Martha as that example in the sign of the Bible. Sometimes you can get a little mad when people don't help you, don't they? Martha, why she got upset? And make my sister come and help me. Well, she's a willing helper and thoughtful toward others. She reaches out to help those around her while maintaining her priority. Proverbs 31:12, Proverbs 31:15, Proverbs 31:20, and 1 Corinthians 13:13. She serves that thought. I'm going to put her now on the next one. Finances. Who would thought that? Proverbs 31 women? No, they're finances. I can tell you, Betsy, Jim and I have checked work years until I came home. Betsy went on to work full time, and I started pastoring full time. And she said, well, since you're home, guess who's paying the bills? And I was like, you'll be Proverbs 31 women. Finance. A Proverbs 31 woman is careful with her finances. In the passage of Proverbs 31, we're also told that she helps provide income with her own needs. She is smart, financially savvy. Proverbs 31:14, Proverbs 31:16, Proverbs 31:18, 1 Timothy 6, 1 Peter 5:23, and Deuteronomy 14:22. She helps. Does that mean you're not part of 31? You don't have a job? No, that doesn't mean that at all. What it means, though, is that she knows what should be spent, what shouldn't be spent, and she knows what should be spent on. Reframe from being that woman who says, I want this, so we're going to make cuts, and we're going to make all kinds of miserable changes until I get what I want. Reframe. Number seven. She is a virtuous woman who works for the rich. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness or by herself. Instead, she stays busy living out God's purpose for life each day. I believe that includes daily devotions, daily Bible reading, daily worship. And here's something. Ladies, I know you don't want to hear this. Gentlemen, I know you don't want to hear this. Pray. doesn't grumble over the task at hand, and she looks well in the ways of her household. In other words, when she sees something unhealthy in her children, she addresses it. And what I mean by unhealthy is not physical, but something unhealthy spiritual, something unhealthy mentally, she addresses it. And you don't need that in our house. She isn't lazy. And incidentally, laziness is one of the biggest problems we have in the United States of America in the year 2024. Laziness, idleness. Proverbs 31:16, Proverbs 31:24, Proverbs 31:31, and Philippians 2:14. Number 8. Homemaking. Nothing wrong with being a homemaker. I know that our society now says, don't you let your family hold you back. I want you to know the Word of God teaches us that you should let your family hold you up. We are told she looks well to the ways of her household. She does not miss her by being that she did everything herself. Now, get that out of your mind. She always does the dishes. She always does the laundry. She always takes the trash out wrong. She looks well to the ways of her household. She has help. She's not a slave to her family or home. She's a good manager of her home. Yes. Yes, and guys, there's nothing wrong with you doing the dishes. I've said it from the pulpit. I don't know if I said it here at Rock Daniel, but let me say it to you right now. If soap and water will wash your masculinity away, then you need a testosterone shot in. So if you got a problem helping your wife wash the dishes and you think it's unmanly, you got a major problem. She organizes her household in a way that helps things run smoothly so that everything runs smoothly. This is what she does. Proverbs 31:15, Proverbs 31:20-22, Proverbs 31:27, Titus 2:4-5, 1 Peter 4:9, Hebrews 13:2. She is a woman who does not tolerate idleness. That doesn't mean she doesn't allow that. That doesn't mean she doesn't allow downtime or play time. When it's time to work, Number 9. We're told that the virtuous woman spends her time doing what needs to be done. Me, that means she recognizes, she has wisdom. She recognizes what needs to be done. She prioritizes what needs to be done. She doesn't just say that's a need, so I'm going to do this, even though that's more important. I'll come back to it later from the start of your first. No, she prioritizes what needs to be done first, and what needs to be done second. One thing I've learned being a husband for 26 years, there are things that are more important than other things. And that may supersede what you want. She does not waste her time on tasks or activities that would detract from the well-being of her family and from her family. She's industrious and hardworking. Proverbs 31:19, Proverbs 31:27, Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, Proverbs 16:9, and Philippians 4:8. Moving on to number 10. She's beauty. She's beauty. That doesn't mean she's always got a makeup on. Doesn't mean she's always got her hair done. Doesn't mean she's always got the perfect slim, fast figure. Beautiful and soft. The Proverbs 31 woman is well dressed, though. The meaning is she is honest. And so the Bible actually specifically speaks toward that, and I think that we should post those verses in Walmart tonight. Somebody can miss it. She provides a pleasant and inviting home for her family and friends. The passage tells us that beauty is vain, but it also tells us she dresses respectfully and takes care with her appearance. She does not dress to catch her eye. Ladies, if you're dressing to catch a man's eye, you're already smart. Number 2, she does not dress to make other ladies jealous. She says, look at my Gucci boots, look at my Gucci belt, look at my Michael Kors purse. I can't remember this. I'm with every woman in the house. Here's my point. She dresses respectfully. She dresses modestly. Proverbs 31:10, Proverbs 31:24-25, Isaiah 61:10, 1 Timothy 2:9-12. Just for thought, though, just for that. I want to introduce you to another woman. Now, we don't know what's happening. We don't know her name. We read about her, though. We read the book of Job. Let me tell you, the book of Job changed her way of thinking if you haven't read it. Most people who read it the first time say, that is a hard book to read, Joshua. It's boring. It's Jewish. Once you get to love it, though, you love it. You learn what a Proverbs 31 woman was. I mean, quickly. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. The Bible tells us, his wife said to him, remember what had happened to Job? The devil and God had made a wager. That's right. The devil came in and he, let's take away all the blessings of Job. Why did he do that? Because God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous. He's loving. He's et cetera, et cetera. And the devil says, well, if you take away the blessings, God says, go ahead and take those blessings away. Take his family, take his possessions, take his wealth. And he does. He loses all those things. His children are killed. Listen to what his wife says. His wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse your life, you God. Is that a Proverbs 31 woman? But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, Job had lost his children. He had lost his wealth. He had lost his property. He had lost his status. Everybody started saying, that guy looked at sin. That guy was sin. I think it's amazing, though. Because if you read through Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, God gives Satan permission to attack his family. He gives permission to attack Job's body. He does not permission to kill Job. He takes away everything from Job. But he does not touch. Now, remember, he kills Job's children. He kills Job's servants. But he doesn't touch Job's wife. In fact, he leaves her alone. Well, you know, a non-Proverbs 31 woman is a problem. The devil doesn't even have to work on it. Just my thoughts. What about Lot's wife? What about Lot's wife? She turned around and said, man, I'm going to live in the past life, didn't she? She was always living in the past. She became useless like a proud Here's my point, though. If the devil didn't see a need to change anything in how Job's wife was acting, perhaps helping. I've been preaching a little bit to you this evening. I want a Proverbs 31 woman. You know what? You're not going to have a Proverbs 31 woman until you become a good godly man. Something needs to change. Perhaps I'm talking to you this evening. Perhaps I'm speaking to you. I'm going to close in the word of prayer. We'll have no invitation for the right of our time. But if he has spoken to you, I'm going to ask you, humble yourself. I am God and say, Lord, I want to be that Proverbs 31 woman. Pastor, say, Pastor, I want to be that good, godly man. Grant you this time. Say, Lord, change my heart. Do a work in my heart. Perhaps I spoke to you online this evening, and you need to say, God, do a work in my heart. I want to be a little bit more like a Proverbs 31 woman. I don't want to quit being too tired to get up and go to church. I want to quit being too bothered, too mad, too angry, too upset, too razzle-dazzled, or whatever you call it, to go to church. Get up and come and bring your children to be a Proverbs 31 woman. Get up, husband. Lead your wife to come to church. Lead your family to be in church. Why? Because it's going to be a good, godly man. Let's close in the word today. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Your word reveals so much to us. It also convicts us, Lord God, every time it opens. In fact, you told us, Lord, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, that your word is sharper than you. Cuts down into our hearts. It's the sound of our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. So I pray right now, Lord, if there was any evil thoughts in our hearts, Lord, right now you bring it out of us, Lord God. Let us repent and confess. And I pray, Father God, you forgive us. I also pray, Lord, if there be any here tonight, Lord, you just walk away from us and disturb us tonight, Lord God. They are in for us. And know, Lord God, that you see your children. You know what your children are going through. You will never leave nor forsake your children. So please, Lord, touch your heart, touch your life, and let them know, Father God, you're with them. Go with us as we depart your house. You keep us safe. Bring us safely back again to your house to worship you, Lord God, on Sunday morning. For to Jesus' great and mighty name, we pray. God bless you all. If you don't want to miss Sunday morning, have a wonderful sermon called 4x4. Come and be a part of that.